Well, good morning. Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. A little tight on time this morning, so I'm making a shake here.
I know you got an early beforehand here.
I got Fit Food, which as you run, a can of Purple Stick, scoop of Purple Sticks, not a whole can, don't take a whole can, and then a scoop of the collagen. All three of those in the morning. Really, really good stack. Good for recovery, good for strength, and great for energy as well. You guys like that one on there. So I'm mixing one up together here as I was a little, you know, trying to procrastinate some, get it done right. And how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Feel great. Had a good night's sleep. Looking forward to a great day. I've got a Bible study at church today at 1 o'clock.
At 1?
At 1.
It's an odd time for a Wednesday. Usually it's nighttime, isn't it?
Yeah. It was like a thing on goal setting that they set up for us for a group of us.
Goal setting.
We've been writing all kinds of neat stuff. Of course, I already have my goal set up.
I was about to say this. That's going to be a hard agenda for you to hit on that one.
This one's not hard. But by the way, Trump blinked. Iran said they won. And I think a lot of it was to go over and control Lebanon. I think a lot of this, I mean, they've completely taken a whole.
Why should they? You want me to show the video real quick?
Yeah, show the video.
Yeah, I've said this before. One thing you guys got to understand. Whoops. You guys got to understand. I said this before. Nothing is done by accident with these guys. They run everything like a theater show. It's like a movie to them. They change things. They operate things. I talked to a good friend of mine last night who's really big in the IT world in Orlando. And I asked him, I said, why in the world do we always have all this weird stuff going on with Twitter and Truth Social and him always blasting all these strange things out there? And he goes, well, it's very, very simple, Austin. He goes, it's AI algorithmic, basically predicted modeling. He said they want to see the guys that run free air, the ones that run the tech world, they give all this data to the government, the administration, the CIA, all this stuff, and they want to see what public perception is going to be. And he goes, pretty much over the last week and a half, public perception of Trump has gone down to virtually like, 2-3%, literally. I mean, even people that were not Christians, that were not even aligned with, Resurrection Sunday with Christ, didn't even really care about it, really strongly opposed that entire, whatever that was on Sunday tweet.
Algorithm.
Right. I mean, it went to the floor. Well, then he comes out, we're going to blow up an entire civilization. Every single mainstream media topic was discussing it last night, and everybody's sitting there going, what? And now today comes out, we've got ceasefire. The strait's open now. We've won. The strait was open 8 weeks ago, ding dong. No problems, no issues, no issues whatsoever. Oh, their nukes are taken out. Yeah, we did that too, that B-2 bombing raid. Now that we're going after civilian targets, suddenly now it's no longer fun. Well, it's because the algorithms completely and totally dropped him on his head.
Well, Iran's charging $1 million a ship now for passage, and Trump says a big victory.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, and we burnt over $100 billion in 6 weeks. Tenth of a trillion dollars in 6 weeks. How do you even do that? Oh, that's right. Invade a country that we didn't need to invade. That's one of the reasons why they didn't put boots on the ground. And when he started talking about sending the Marine Recon team in and the Army Rangers in, everybody got mad on social media. There was like 2 to 3%, my buddy's like 2, 3, 4, 5% support of that. Like, everybody's like, why are we sending more troops into another protracted war into a country that's larger than Afghanistan? For what? Oh, so they don't have nukes. Because they're going to bring them here. We're going to fight here. Newsflash to everybody. We've brought in millions upon millions of Middle Eastern migrants into the United States now. And we pay them to stay here. If you don't believe me, look at the Somalian daycares up in Minnesota. Millions of dollars a year to run empty daycares. We already pay them to be here. They're already here. If they want to start doing stupid stuff like clacking off an IED at the entrance of Walmart, which they could easily start doing if they wanted to. You want to talk about economic shutdown. And the thing is, the administration knows this. They've also said, it's funny too. Iran comes out and says, you do this, we're going to take out the Oracle Stargate AI data center in Abu Dhabi.
Suddenly,
notice that? One day later, suddenly everything, oh, they have a ceasefire now. Funny. And at the same time, you guys see what happened in Lebanon. I told you guys this. This has been ongoing now. And I showed you guys the video yesterday. I'll play this video here in a second. This one goes right here. This is a news report over Middle East.
Defense Minister Israel Katz has reiterated Israel's plan to expand a buffer zone in South Lebanon and maintain control of the entire area up to the Litani River. He added that all homes in villages near the Israeli border would be destroyed in order to remove threats.
They now occupy half of Lebanon. They've displaced 1.4 million civilians in South Lebanon. Gone, homeless, houses gone, old compounds that people have had for hundreds of years, family heritages gone, wiped out, blown up. Sending the videos, got more of them here. Nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. We just took over half of Lebanon. Beirut doesn't exist now.
Now, there was also we have some stuff that we have on this one. It was a mosque that was built.
It was a mausoleum that was built for Simon Peter. Now, whether or not, I have not been able to verify this. It looked from the data that I saw on it. They said basically Israel dropped multiple mobs on this. And it was the mausoleum of Simon Peter, Apostle of Christ, in one of the villages they were taking over.
You know, I mean, you hear what it says, Christians better wake up to the evils of the synagogue of Satan. You know, it's funny, Austin. People don't even know what that means. I mean, there's two times in the book of Revelation where it's mentioned in depth. It goes into depth about the synagogue of Satan. They claim to be Jews. They are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. Twice it says this. And yet Christians pretend like that doesn't exist because it's talking about Jews, which means it's talking about Israel, which means it's talking about the third temple, which means it's talking about Zionism, and it's talking about being anti-Semite. And you're like, wait a minute. Don't you remember when Mel Gibson did The Passion of the Christ?
Mm-hmm.
He was told that it was an anti-Semitic movie. It came right out of the book of John. See, anytime you say anything about the synagogue of Satan, you have a tendency to say, okay, it's an anti-Semitic comment. And it's really kind of sad.
Well, apparently Israel's unbelievably mad that we didn't blow up Iran. I mean, they had an entire countdown televised on their show, on the media. They were doing a full countdown clock to when Iran civilization was going to be wiped out. They're bragging about it here in Israel. This is their Israel news media. Countdown clock.
How do Israelis take a potential mass casualty event? They are filled with excitement as they eagerly wait for the countdown to hit zero.
I mean,
that's what it says.
Yeah, who does that? Who puts that out there?
Oh, I know. Pick me.
Yeah, pick you.
It's the Christians who want to get raptured, who want to go up to
there
heaven.
There you go.
And watch the Antichrist destroy two-thirds of the planet while they sit in the heavenly grandstands and applaud. Now, Christians, I'm a Christian. And, of course, if you're watching this show, you're not really thinking like that anymore anyhow. But that's what a lot of people think. It really is. All these Zionists that are Christians, I mean, the ones who want to rebuild the third temple. Do you not get the picture here, okay? They want to rebuild the third temple to start sacrificing to their God again, which is, by the way, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. It's the God of Ein Sof, the snake in the tree from the Kabbalah. And are they going to be sacrificing animals or humans? I mean, we don't know. We have no idea. These guys are pretty sick. Look at Jeffrey Epstein with things, you know, babies in the freezer. This is weird stuff going on here.
Oh, by the way, that's nobody talks about that anymore now. Epstein files, remember, they just kind of stopped.
Well,
there's
like
40,000 pages that were supposed to get released.
Yeah.
Not a peep from anybody on that now.
Well,
now Pambani's gone.
Yeah.
Now, the Epstein files went away with her. She just botched that. That was her fault. Everything is her fault.
You know, I sit back and I watch it all, and I kind of just say, wow, this is crazy. But, you know, so you want a third temple and you're a Christian? Don't you understand what Christ did on the cross with the crucifixion and the shedding of his blood? It's in a forever sacrifice. He's an omnipresent God. So I really don't understand any of this stuff. But let's do some health stuff.
Yeah.
Pancreatic cancer explosion, over 200% explosion increase in young women coming down with pancreatic cancer at the age of 25. Remember I talked about it yesterday. I talked about women and alcohol. Remember that, Austin?
Mm-hmm.
And I said women can't handle alcohol. They can't process it as well. Now, there are other factors like sodium nitrites and all kinds of other things that cause problems with pancreatic cancer. But this whole article is pretty doggone strong. It talks about obesity and other things. It says an alarm of over 200% explosion in young women and girls getting pancreatic cancer as top experts admit they are baffled by the frightening rise of this deadly disease. And by the way, Pfizer is supposed to be doing a big brand new study with COVID shots. They can't do it.
I saw they can't get any participants.
Nobody's signing up for it. I mean, when the head guy from Pfizer comes back and says basically this thing's killing people, causing heart attacks and everything else, all these things he came out with, suddenly they're like, you know, we basically don't know what to say because, you know, the head guy from Pfizer is saying, hey, this is not okay. This is a bad, bad, bad product. And so all of a sudden we're like, you know, there we are. You know, and so it's interesting about this when you see about all of these different people.
Pfizer biotech halts U.S. COVID vaccine study after recruitment struggles.
Yeah.
Could get people going it.
Pfizer can't find volunteers. Their massive COVID vaccine trial just collapsed. And in 2 days, an Amsterdam court decides if former Pfizer VP Mike Yeadon can actually testify against them. The same company that made billions can't find 25,000 people willing to take their sludge. And meanwhile, their former vice president is waiting to testify against them in court. Wow.
You know, I will say this, though, because I was looking at everything from both sides on it. It makes me wonder if this is a basically obfuscation theater to make sure that they can't get the trials going right now. They're using this as an excuse because they know it's going to happen if they actually run a true clinical trial that's going to be overwatched and have third-party testing done on it, and they know this stuff's going to be unbelievably toxic.
That's a good point.
They maybe say, well, you put this on. Find an excuse to halt this testing right now. Mm-hmm. We can't run it. Because quite frankly, if this guy starts testifying and they're in the middle of these trials, and all of a sudden they say, we want to see your data up to 30 days now. And they go, well, we've had a lot of people fall out because they get sick. We want to see all of it. Subpoena all of it now.
Says Dr. Michael Yeadon spent 16 years at Pfizer. He wasn't a junior researcher. He was the vice president and chief scientist of the Allergy and Respiratory Research Division, one of the most senior scientific positions in the entire company. He led teams. He understood the drug development pipeline from the inside out. And when Pfizer rolled out its mRNA COVID product, Yeadon became one of the most prominent voices in the world warning that something was deeply wrong. His warnings were specific and technical, not vague fear-mongering. He raised concerns about lipid nanoparticles, biodistribution, the fact that the injected material doesn't stay in the arm but travels throughout the body, concentrating in organs like the liver and the ovaries. He questioned why a product with such a narrow therapeutic window was being pushed on an entire population regardless of risk profile. He challenged the suppression of early treatment options that could have reduced the pressure for emergency authorization in the first place. He warned about reproductive risk. He warned about immune system disruption from repeated dosing. He warned that the regulatory shortcuts taken under emergency authorization were not safeguards, and there were an absence of safeguards. For all this, he was labeled a conspiracy theorist. He was deplatformed, smeared across mainstream media. His decades of pharmaceutical expertise were dismissed overnight. But here's the thing about Yeadon's warnings. The Pfizer trial collapsed exactly what happened when the public catches up to what he was saying years ago. Trust doesn't just erode, it collapses. And when 80% of willing volunteers can't even pass health screening for a vaccine trial, you have to ask, what happened to the people who already took these products?
There you go.
I'm going to repeat that sentence. And when 80% of willing volunteers can't even pass health screening for a vaccine trial, you have to ask what happened to the people who already took these products. Remember what they said. 5 billion people got injected with this sludge. The whole population of the planet has been basically in disarray since this happened. Young athletes falling out on fields, dying of heart attacks. Women can't conceive. Men can't produce sperm. On and on and on it goes. And yet people are still taking it, Austin.
Yeah.
That's why.
Oh, and it's still on the recommended shot schedule for six-month-olds and older with the FDA. Don't forget that. Six-month-old baby. Already giving that baby 7 vaccines at 6 months old. 7 vaccines. While which none have been tested in conjunction with either vaccine. Anybody that tells you that all those shots have been tested together is bold-faced lying to you. There's not a single study that has ever been done testing all those shots together one time. Not one. Oh, by the way, then we'll throw the COVID RNA gene therapy shot in on two on top of it, and we'll just see what happens.
You know, it's interesting to me because, you know, we talked yesterday about how the universe is formed and how we're a ball of energy and all the rest. And, you know, it's funny because when you look back at the ancient ones that were here, they've done everything they can to erase recorded history so we don't remember. They want to destroy the, you know, the Apostle Paul, you know, his Peter, right, you know, Peter's mausoleum. They don't want you to remember who Jesus was. They've realized this with human beings. Human beings have a very short attention span. Like we said 5 minutes ago, what about the Epstein files?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, the best thing you can do to obfuscate all that's go to war. You know, and you get 3 aircraft carrier divisions over there in the Middle East and all the rest of it. And I still believe that one aircraft carrier got hit, or a fire in the laundry room, whatever. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. But remember, the entities that run the planet working through the synagogue of Satan, it tells us this, Jesus told us this in the book of, you know, Revelation, are the ones that are doing all of this stuff. And so there are all kinds of files. I want you guys to read it. Pfizer's file, trial, failure, the courtroom. Here's what they're not telling you about the connection between the two stories. Pfizer's trial collapsed because the FDA was under, these lawsuits, under outgoing vaccine chief Dr. Vinay Prasad, toughened requirement for the COVID vaccine trial. They mandated a large placebo-controlled study for the 50 to 64 age group. Pfizer couldn't meet those requirements, not because the science was too hard, but because the people said no. And I personally believe, and I think Austin's right about this, I think they asked the people who they knew would say no. Are you with me? Stay with me for a second.
Deflect it down the road.
Because we can't do the trial because we don't have the volunteers. To me, that's hogwash. And here's why it's hogwash. All they've got to do is run an ad in the local paper in New York and Chicago, wherever they're going to do
$2,000 to study.
Well, we're going to give you $10,000 to come in here and do this study with us. and they're going to have people lining up at the door to do the study. But when they say we can't find participants, they say, well, we're going to offer you to a $200 check.
Gift card.
Gift card.
A gift card to Amazon for $100.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that going to get me? A quarter bag of groceries?
So what they do, they skew it that way. That way, people say, I'm not going to get injected with that sludge.
For $100?
For $100, I'm not doing it. So they don't give you the parameters of how they couldn't find anybody. They just say, we couldn't find them, because I think you're right. They don't want this thing going forward.
Well, if it goes to trial, and now all of a sudden they go, oh, by the way, we're subpoenaing the first 30 days of the new trial. We'll see what's going on. We want all the data.
You remember that one movie, Dark Waters?
Yeah.
And they had 65,000 participants in this trial they did. They paid everybody who came in and basically gave their blood to find out why there were so many people with DuPont that were dying in that area. Mm-hmm. And it took them years and years and years to crunch the data. I mean, years, almost a decade. And finally they came out and said, these people have all these diseases. They have all these heart disease problems, health problems, cancer problems, all the stuff. And it's all been directly linked back to this basically contamination from DuPont. And all of a sudden it was like this giant class action. All of a sudden everybody started suing them. And finally they just did a big class action and they withheld paying for another X amount of years. And they came back and repealed it again before they paid anything. It's what they always do, because once they make the hundreds of billions of dollars, they don't want to give the money back because the money's already been paid out in dividends and stocks and et cetera, et cetera. So it's crazy. Oh, by the way, the Artemis mission now is returning to Earth. I'm going to come out and say this. I don't believe this mission ever took place. I think this is pure obfuscation. I think there was so much blowback online, like you were saying earlier, about NASA never went to the moon. I believe that they decided to go ahead and stage another play game here like this. I don't believe, because now they're saying, as soon as they launch, they say, oh, by the way, the toilets aren't working.
The toilet. There we go. That's a great excuse, because nobody can get mad at that. Well, you should just send up with the toilets broken anyways.
Well, and now they're coming up with these hundreds of reasons why there's a possibility it's going to fail into reentry. You know, the Orion capsule is due to reenter Earth's atmosphere using a trajectory that's never been tested and a heat shield that has previously failed. If all goes to plan, it will splash down in California off the coast. Reentry will not be a good moment for anything to go wrong in the Artemis astronauts as they end near the end of their 10-day, 700,000-mile journey to the moon and back. You know, and it's going to start coming up with all of this stuff about this, all these problems. And again, it's more garbage. I mean, if they can't get a toilet to work on the doggone ship, how in the world do they get to the moon and back? Everybody just held it for 10 days? That'd be hard to do. Impossible. You'd be like really pretty upset. I mean, I don't believe any of it between me and you guys. I just think it's nonsense. I think it was because they told us a few years ago they no longer had the technology to go to the moon, Austin.
Yeah.
And now suddenly they have the technology again. Yeah, whatever. I don't believe any of this stuff. So it's just I find it fascinating that we basically are sitting here doing this again.
Oh, and health news. Actually, this is updates. Health Masters updates on here. So I just pulled it up. I was trying to get through it. Thyroid support, last day product of the week. You guys know, but taking advantage of that. But I actually was trying to see what voted. My computer, there it goes. There's my computer. Oh, it was back sluggish for a second. I thought NAC was going to win, because it usually does, or Cortisol Buster. And I clicked on the voting, and Sublingual B12 was going to win today, which is interesting.
That's a great product.
Because I had a lot more people asking me about that lately, well, probably over the last couple months, about B12 deficiency. And then about why in the world a lot of times people are taking B12 supplements, which most of them are cyanocobalamin, and why they're not getting their B12 levels up. And in fact, they're actually poisoning themselves. And sure enough, an article came out earlier this year. It says B12 supplement poisoning you. What is cyanide doing in the vast majority of B12 supplements and the risk associated with using it? And this is interesting. I'll post this on the website. It says, unknown to most consumers, cyanide is found in a wide range of vitamins. Formerly, the cyanide has very low potential to do harm because basically it's usually low dosage on it. However, people start using higher and higher and higher amounts of it, they find that cyanide cobalamin is actually really, really toxic when it's used long term. And it's found the vast majority of vitamins, especially B12. It's relatively cheap. It's recovered from activated sewage sludge with the addition of potassium cyanide produced through chemical synthesis, and it's relatively stable, but it's just not perishable. Despite its wide range of use, it's not ideal for B12.
Did you say sewage sludge?
It is relatively cheap. You guys look at what it said here. It's recovered from activated sewage sludge or mammalian tissue with additional potassium cyanide produced through total chemical synthesis and is relatively stable, non-perishable. That's what it's saying in this article. Now, I can click it. I don't know where this is going to go. No, yeah, processed preferring B12. Sure enough, it goes through here.
I
Yeah.
Processed sewage.
Yeah,
sludge.
They go through here and they basically put, my gosh. Yeah. It says it's provided organic solvent extract of some such as substitute, separating undissolved materials from the extract and essentially going through, and a lot of it's taken from sewage.
Yeah, if you've never if you never had a reason to buy Health Masters, this is the perfect reason.
I was a little skeptical on clicking that link because I'm live right now and I can't edit this. I was hoping to go something crazy. No, it's going to patents on Google.com. There's a patent. There's a patent, US 3057851A, United States patent for processing and preparing B12 with cyanide.
I had no idea they were taking stuff out of sewage sludge. Now, I know over in China, they'll use septic tank sewage oil that comes out for cooking. We remember we covered that story last year. It was pretty disgusting, as it is still disgusting to this day. And what's even more disgusting, Austin, experts are raising alarm over a dangerous parasite that poses a threat to humans as it is discovered in a northwestern state. It's a tapeworm that's spreading across the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to say this to you again, and I'm not trying to be mean to you if you got animals and dogs and cats and livestock and all that. Just don't be sleeping with them. Don't be putting them in the bed. Don't be doing stuff like that. Make sure you wash your hands. You know, you got to think about it for a second. You got a dog or a cat sleeping in the bed with you. They don't really take a shower and clean their buttocks and all the stuff when they use the bathroom. You got to remember that. Just be careful with all this stuff.
This
guys.
Is interesting. It also says there are two recent studies comparing the effects of cyanide. I'm still reading on. I'm still on sewage sludge with cyanide cobalamin. But you're right about that with the animals. Don't let them sleep in bed with you. It says two recent studies. Actually, didn't think I was listening to you while I was reading. It says the two
pretty
recent studies.
Actually.
Well, I'm running a tension factor and purple sticks today, and that Fit Food chocolate's got me feeling really good right now. I didn't have eggs this morning yet. So I'm like, wait till I get my eggs in. That's after the show. Two recent studies comparing the effects of cyanide cobalamin to methylcobalamin. Read this right here. I want you guys to read this while I'm reading it. To methylcobalamin in inflammatory bowel disease patients showed the cyanide-based form aggravated symptoms of bowel inflammation by shifting the microbiome towards a more inflammatory profile. Meaning the cyanide cobalamin B12 participants actually started getting significantly more side effects and aggravating IBS than the methylcobalamin did at all.
I remember years ago I spoke to a medical doctor and I'm dying of, I think it was pancreatic cancer, quite frankly. And I'm not going to mention his name. He was a nice guy. I liked him. But he used to inject cyanide cobalamin into you. You know who I'm talking
B12?
About. B12?
Yeah.
You inject it directly in with cyanide.
Well, that's almost all. This is here. Here's a paper right here. Antidote. This is cyanide cobalamin.
Right.
There was always cyanide cobalamin when it comes to B12. I've never found an injectable B12 without cyanide cobalamin. And the problem is most people are realizing now that a lot of symptoms of certain problems that people have, like multiple sclerosis, a lot of it now is finding it's a B12 deficiency. It says new research sheds lights on molecular link between B12 deficiency and multiple sclerosis, opening the door to the possibilities of new ways to treat MS. And this goes for a lot of different things now as far as on what side effects people are experiencing, why B12 is so effective.
Significantly, B12 deficiency also caused demyelination of the nerves.
Ooh.
That's a big deal, guys.
That's when the myelin sheath off the nerves. That's super,
that's
super
multiple
painful.
Sclerosis. Yep.
Yep. It's because also deficiency of B12 causes major cause for neurological diseases. These findings have prompted some doctors to recommend older patients with symptoms of these disorders to test for B12 in early. Why aren't you testing B12 in the first place? It's like when somebody's sicker and sick and they're on their deathbed, they go, maybe we should test their D3 levels.
Well, they're already dying most of them.
Well, no, but I'm saying, you know how many times I've talked to people and customers and they're coming in, they're having problems and they got their blood work and I'm like, I've looked at it. And I'm like, what were your D3 levels? Well, I don't know. It's not on there. Every symptom you're telling me right now is pretty much common with D3 deficiency.
I've got a friend of mine, this is fourth round of cancer, and I've asked him for the last 2 years, what are your D3 levels? I don't know. Don't know. They don't test them. And I'm like, why don't you ask them to test them?
If I was a betting person, I wouldn't bet on this because I know who you're talking about. He's a great guy. I don't wish this on anybody. But I would probably say his D3 levels are probably either low teens or single digit level because he's not taking any subs that I know if it'd be D3. Oh. And when I, every time I've talked to somebody and they have their D3 levels tested and they're having significant health problems, every time they're low. I mean, I've literally talked to people and they're in the single digits. Their D3's at 5 and 6.
You remember that day we had the B12 here on the set and I took 10 of them?
Oh, yeah, the B12. Yeah,
I took 10. People say, you didn't really do that. I'm like,
he did.
I really did. It didn't affect me one bit. I'll do it again.
No,
for
it's not cyanide cobalamin. Methyl cobalamin on it, and it's unbelievably important for the entire neurological system, cardiovascular system, everything on it. So I guess that's going to win. You guys voted. I'll switch that over this afternoon. I did not expect that one to win, though. It tastes really good, by the way. It dissolves. You chew it up. It like dissolves in your tongue, and it will. You guys want to test this? Be my guest. I've done it, so I know what it'll do. You want to take one of these before you go get blood work done? Your doctor's going to say, "What in the world? Why are your B12 level so high?" I'm kidding. Don't you can't do it. But if you want to get real numbers, to make sure you don't take it before taking it.
Just to show that it goes into the blood.
Oh, it will. It'll go like that.
Right under the tongue.
Multiple powder will do that too. I had that happen. My B12 is like 1900. He's like, "What did you take?" So I just fasted with multiple powder this morning. He's like, "Keep taking it. I've never seen this before. Blood work doesn't even get it this high with injectable." And I'm like,
By the way, speaking of weird stuff, psychiatric morbidity. New study confirms switching your gender deteriorates your mental health.
Oh, imagine that.
A new study published in the peer-reviewed Active Pediatrica, a pediatric journal, has delivered a stunning blow to the ideology of transgender activists, whose main points include that chemicals or body mutilating surgeries are needed, or else the patient assuredly will seek suicide if they cannot have their gender changed.
Gosh.
In fact, the study revealed that in some individuals, medical GR gender reassignment appears to be linked with deterioration of mental health. Substitute to medical GR psychiatric treatment needs to appear to increase. Reported Washington Stand confirmed the news as a major damage to the myth that gender reassignment procedures are medically necessary for the mental health of the young people confused about their bodies. So you tell a 10-year-old he's a boy, you tell him he's a girl, you tell him whatever they are, you start changing genders on them, you start giving them hormones, which they do in some states, which is unbelievable. And then as soon as they turn 18 or 21, you let them go ahead and mutilate themselves. For the rest of their life, they're really, really messed up in the head, is what it's saying. In some cases, the sad part about it is this is, again, goes back to the fallen angels and their God, Ein Sof. Remember, he has 14 or 12 archangels around him, and you got to pray to those archangels while you're simulating the sex act. Can't believe I just said that, but that's what you got to do. And what happens, that's when you see them rocking at the Wailing Wall, and you see them doing that. And what happens is you can't talk to the God himself. You have to talk to the archangels and give you what you want, and their God is an hermaphrodite. So the closest expression that you can have to God is to be a transgender or a hermaphrodite or gay. It's better than heterosexual. That's why they push the agenda so hard in the Kabbalah.
So you're saying, if a 14, 15-year-old boy, Y chromosome, male, you put him on estrogen, you put him on basically testosterone-blocking hormones, and suddenly he starts getting depressed and wants to commit suicide, we figured out that's a problem. Well, no, duh.
Well, duh.
I mean, what'd you think was going to happen?
The thing about it is, going through childhood.
Teenage years are rough enough.
Oh, my
trying
gosh.
Trying to figure out
Everybody hates their parents. Well, not everybody. Most people hate their parents when they're teenagers. They're all angry.
Well, yeah, you're getting in fights all the time. Mm-hmm. You're trying to figure out what girls are. You're figuring out how you do in school. Then you get you got to figure out what you want to do with life. What am I going to do with life? I don't know what I'm going to do with life yet. I'm 14. Well, you better figure it out soon. And you got all these different factors. By the way, now, let's put you on, testosterone blockers and hormone blockers. And we'll give you estrogen injections every day, too. That'll make you way more confident about yourself right now, boy. Now you can be Susie. These people are sick. The fact that they even thought this was an okay idea and it's able to do to minors is insane to me. And the parents that sign off on this...
I remember years ago, I watched this thing on TV, and this doctor had done a circumcision on this young boy.
Yeah. Missed or whatever.
Cut his penis off.
Yeah.
And so he thought, okay, well, it's no big deal. We're going to go make him a little girl now.
Castrated him. Horrible story.
I mean, no, it's a true story.
Horrible
and,
story.
And the doctor should have been put in prison for life for this. And then the kid, he wants to play with trucks and trains and everything else. And he's like 6, 8 years old. He's supposed to be a little girl. Finally, they tell him what they did to him. He can't believe it. Now he's 20, 30 years old. Now, last time I heard, read about him, and he's unbelievably upset. He's angry because they did this to him. Unbelievable, Austin.
That's horrible, dude. I got to switch gears. I'm going to get really angry.
My veins aren't coming out yet.
My blood pressure's good this morning. I'm trying to keep it that way. Textbook conflict of interest. Did Blackstone pressure FDA to reverse course on Moderna RNA flu vaccine? Blackstone, which is a subsidiary of BlackRock, the world's largest alternative assets manager, lost a $750 million investment in Moderna to support the development of the flu vaccine, right? This is the flu vaccine, not the COVID vaccine, the new, the gene therapy flu vaccine, because the COVID-19 RNA shot gene therapy wasn't enough. Now we need a flu shot to give everybody. In February, remember I said this, the FDA rejected the review of the phase 3 clinical trials. The FDA said, nah, this doesn't work. We're not approving this. And this is because Kennedy is now pushing really hard on the FDA to stop just rubber stamping everything that shows up. Oh, major side effects, death. Oh, stamp. It's approved. They're like the Oprah Winfrey at drug approval, the FDA was. You're approved. You're approved. You're approved. You're approved. It's like the stupid commercials you see with people with bad credit. They're like, doesn't matter. 200 Beacon score. You're approved. 29% interest, but you're approved.
You got to put 80% down.
Yeah. It's like the FDA with this. The FDA said, nah, we're not approved this new RNA shot. This shot is not safe. It's not effective. And it clearly is not needing to be approved. Well, by early March, the head of the agency's vaccine division was gone from the FDA. And the review now is back on.
Good.
So, no, they're trying to get it approved again now. So after the FDA reversed course, they're now saying that basically they want to get it approved now after one of the individuals got released from the FDA. Blackstone has put in a massive investment to get this thing approved. Aside from its financial
money, baby.
Blackstone is also closely connected to the Republican Party and Trump administration.
No, oh, CEO of Confuser, Schwarzman.
Steven yeah. Schwarzman. I could have sworn I thought it was Steven Rosenstein. No, it was Rosenbaum. No, Schwarzman, not my
apologies. Rosenberg.
Apologize on that one. I had
a roommate in college one time. His name was Robert Rosenberg. He's a great guy. I'm going to tell you the story. He was 6'8", and he wore platform shoes that were 4 to 6 inches tall.
Yeah.
And he had a toupee that was basically a wig.
Afro, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it stood up another 4 inches, and it was a wig. It was basically a hairpiece because he was bald as a bat, red hair. And so when he would stand up, he was, 6'8" and 4 more inches makes him 7 foot tall. He's like 7'6". And he was so funny. I liked the guy. He was a really nice guy. He would stand up and he'd sit at the couch and his knees would be like over his head because he's sitting at the couch. And then he'd stand up and instead of just standing up, he'd take like 45 seconds to stand up.
Just keep growing.
And people would start watching and say, how tall is he going to get? And he did it on purpose. He used to work out with me. He's a great guy. And he's a good friend.
A party trick. How tall you can he get?
And he could dance.
Could he?
He really could dance.
He had to duck through a 6'8" door, and he was wearing those boots, though.
No, he had to duck.
Gosh, I mean, you have to duck going through a 6'8" door.
We lived in this apartment over on Bruno Street in Tallahassee. And the floors were, I mean, it was ridiculous. The place was, no offense, they had a garage. That's why I wanted to put my car in.
Hey, it's always about the garage, bro. You got to keep the cars in shape.
And I had a leaky rear window in that Monte Carlo, and I didn't want to have water in it, so I didn't want to drive it in the rain, so I kept it parked in the garage. But boy, I tell you, you talk about a dump of a doggone apartment. It was awful.
Back to Blackstone. It says
back in the college days.
If Moderna RNA flu shot, this is what Toby Rogers said, PhD, working for The Defender. He said this entire thing now is get this shot approved is nothing but conflict of interest. He said if Moderna's RNA shot is approved due to political pressure now from the largest donor of the Republican Party, it would be one of the most extreme examples of regulatory capture in U.S. history. When a private equity firm with $750 million in stake in one specific vaccine has documented ties to senior administration officials and their lobbyists, that represents a textbook conflict of interest. The public deserves transparency about whether these relationships influence the FDA's reversal of Moderna's flu vaccine application, and essentially they're saying now it's supposed to get approved. Meaning BlackRock spending money and pushing the administration to approve something that should not be approved because the FDA said it does not meet the requirements.
You know what's funny about this thing is the flu shots all have thimerosal in them, or they used to. The old ones I saw.
Know, this got RNA gene therapy. This whole level.
We're talking
bad.
Mercury in it. And I've talked to so many people who took the flu shot. They get unbelievably sick. I've never taken a flu shot, nor will I ever do that. By the way, mystery surrounds now the ninth scientist who has died who's tied to U.S. secrets. The disturbing pattern grows.
Nine
are dead now.
It was like 4 or 5 when we watched that interview the other day with the congressman.
Well, what's happened is, you know, about 10 years ago, we had that thing with a bunch of doctors dying who were using GCMAF.
GCMAF out of Europe.
Out of Europe for curing cancer and autism.
That's allegedly what they were doing.
Supposedly. And a whole bunch of them died. I did a show with Hagman one night. And it had over 10 million views within a few days. It was huge. Of course, YouTube took it and got rid of it. Another scientist with ties to America's space program has now joined the growing list of deaths. Michael David Hicks, a researcher at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, died at the age of 59, but nobody's doing any autopsies. Hicks, who worked at JPL until 2022, was credited with publishing over 80 scientific papers and was part of multiple teams helping NASA understand the physical properties of comets and asteroids. The problem is when you get in here and you start looking at the stuff, you start realizing everything they told us was a lie.
Everything.
Pretty much about space. They're telling you everything's a lie.
No, it's not just space.
It's everything.
Dad, it's everything. I mean, there's another article here. I've covered this topic multiple times. The reason why I keep covering it is because I get so many questions on it. It says, is high cholesterol really bad for you? And listen to this research they just said right here. It says the lipid paradox, the Swedish study. We briefly talked about this, but I'm going to clarify this because Dad's covered it before. We covered it in 2023. I want everybody to read this, Rich. I want everybody to read it so they can see that I'm not making this up. You guys know I don't make this up. The Swedish study followed older participants for 35 years and found those with higher total cholesterol were more likely to live to be 100.
Hopefully that'll be me.
Think about that for a second. In a separate 2025 study, research found that adults aged 90 or older with LDL or the bad cholesterol levels above 130 live longer than those with levels below the threshold notable given by the HCA for basically below 100 or basically the statin limit, meaning individuals that were 90 or older and had higher LDLs live longer than the other group that basically had low cholesterol or in the proper range. Now, I'm not telling you this means you need to get your cholesterol high and go eat a bunch of McDonald's and fat fries to get your cholesterol up so you live longer. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying here is everything you're told is a lie. They're telling you you need to go on statin so you live longer. It's a complete and total lie. They kill you. They cause muscle sclerosis. They cause your muscles to break down. Then your body has to filter it out through your kidneys. Then you go on dialysis. Watched it happen. It caused your testosterone levels to literally drop. You want to talk about losing muscle tissue faster than anything. Drop your testosterone from 700 or 800 down to 200. You watch your muscles erode, especially if you're not training or exercising. I mean, you will shrink up. I mean, nothing. You will lose, 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds of muscle tissue over your, next 10, 20 years.
It's one of the reasons that people, when they age, because testosterone drops down, they start to shrink up.
Yeah.
And so they get, their arms get real thin. Their necks get real thin. Their belly gets real big.
Remember, when testosterone goes down, estrogen goes up. What does estrogen do? Estrogen in men causes gynecomastia and causes massive fat deposits in the midsection. So your stomach gets big, you grow man boobs, your arms get real skinny, you have no sex drive, and you have no energy. Sign me up for that one, Doc. See how bad I can feel the rest of my life.
Start looking like your prepubescent self.
Look like a pear with arms, which was sticks sticking out the side of it. It was crazy about this here. This other part of the study.
A pear with arms with sticks sticking out.
Stick arms. Think about a pear with little stick arms sticking out. That's what you look like. You get real big belly, real big man boobs with skinny little arms.
That sounds horrible.
That's what it looks like. I've seen it before. I feel bad for everybody. They take this stuff. You know, what's crazy about it is it says, the cholesterol levels need to be around. Like they said, if they start giving statins out, if the cholesterol goes above or is it 190 or you have cardiovascular risk and your levels are between 70 and 80, 189, meaning if your LDLs are at 71 and you have cardiovascular risk, they recommend statins. 70 LDLs are through the floor already. 71, that's through the floor. And yet, if you have that, but you have elevated cardiovascular risk, well, what they do is every single person they test has elevated cardiovascular risk. Automatically. Now they're saying if you're 30 or older, you need to take statins. I mean, they're trying to make the entire population fat and soft and lazy and just dumb.
No, the synagogue of Satan wants that.
No, that's right. Because you know what those people don't do? They don't ask questions. They don't push back. Mm-hmm. They go, we ought to win today. We have a victory with Donald Trump because we got the strait open. It was open 6 weeks ago. We didn't have any problems. Diesel sure as heck wasn't $8 a gallon. I mean, I saw photos. $8.20 a gallon in California. $8.20 a gallon.
But their governor says they have the most prosperous, wonderful state in the world now.
Florida's the best state in the entire country, and we're at $6 a gallon for diesel. How's that working out for us? I just got nailed with fuel surcharges this week with UPS. So VIP shipping, get it as long as you can. I will keep my levels, as I told you guys. But my gosh, they keep this crap up long enough, I can't eat it all the time. Just letting you guys know that. I'll do the best I can. But this is stupid. And the fact that I've seen even a remote amount of comments online where people are saying this is a giant win. We just blew $100 billion in 6 weeks. Diesel's at $6 a gallon. And by the way, you haven't seen it stop yet because crude Brent crude's still at 120 today on the trading table. That means all the oil that's still going to the processing is going into 120 a barrel when they close contracts. You haven't even seen the oil price stop yet.
There's another $1 million surcharge per tanker.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we won. That was eight-dimensional chess.
Gosh. Oh, by the way, I was watching a video somebody sent me the other day. And I thought about it. I wasn't going to cover it, and I said I wasn't going to cover it. And it's complete nonsense. This guy shows a picture of a pancreas with a big parasite hanging on the side. And he mixes up a bunch of vinegar and throws a bunch of cinnamon in it and says, I'm going to tell you how to kill this pancreatic parasite that's causing type 2 diabetes.
Well, that's a big claim. Whoa.
Oh, it's complete nonsense.
Whoa. Now, cinnamon is great for blood sugar.
But then he has his bottle of pills he wants you to buy. It's just, and it says, and here's the article. So I pulled this up. It says, debunking the insulin-sucking parasite myth. A dangerous scam preying on health fears. What parasite sucks the insulin out of the pancreas? And, I looked through this, and basically what it says is that it's just something that is not even true at all, that it's a fabricated narrative designed for emotional manipulation. These claims typically generate from marketers who understand the power of fear-based selling. Now, here's the problem I've got with all of this stuff. This guy gets millions of views on this thing, right?
Whoa, on YouTube? Millions of views.
Now, think about it. What, you know what I'm going
to say.
Yes. And here we tell you, COVID shot's probably going to be bad for you.
Gone. Misinformation. We're spreading direct misinformation on COVID vaccines.
When we put stuff up, we put our show up within 15 minutes. It's down now. It doesn't matter to this day, years, 6 years later, because we've been banned. But this guy's sitting there talking about, he's got a big picture of this parasite sucking insulin out of it. It's unbelievable. And it's crazy to me. And then it starts about real examples of liver flukes. Those are rare. And then it starts talking about other people have incomplicated. Then they talk about toxoplasmosis. Whoa. Now, I've talked about that repeatedly, but that's a real parasite. And says, why are these ads dangerous? They delay real treatment, financial loss if you start buying this stuff, and emotional manipulation. And the sad part about it is YouTube lets it go on with millions of views. And he goes, well, this is the last time I'm going to talk about this on YouTube. Well, yeah, because they probably keep taking him down all the time. I hope they do. But the reality is, guys, don't believe that you got some big parasite hanging on the side of the pancreas because you got type 2 diabetes. The reason you have type 2 diabetes is probably because you're eating too much high fructose corn syrup and you're drinking too many sodas and you're eating too many high glycemic foods and you're basically eating junk all the time and your liver's toxic because of glyphosate. All of that stuff adds to that. So don't fall for that kind of stuff. If you ever see something like that before you buy it, call my office or send me an email, ted.brower@yahoo.com, and I'm back on those again. So just remember, be really, really careful when you hear all of this stuff and understand that a lot of this stuff is really, really just pure obfuscation and complete and total lies. Now, here's a true thing. Israelis don't pay for the weapons we sell to them. U.S. taxpayers do. Whoa, we talked about this about a month ago. Now other people are now talking about it. And it says, most arms sales are financed through the Foreign Military Financing, which is basically an American subsidized gift card. And no, the relationship between military spending and jobs is not self-evident. The Trump administration expects U.S. taxpayers to fund not only its own military adventures, but Israel's as well. Ending American subsidies to Israel's war is one reason why Senators Bernie Sanders and a bunch of other ones are opposing this recently filed joint resolutions of $659 million going to Israel. Given the horrific destruction that Israel's extremist government has wrought on Gaza, Iran, and Lebanon, the last thing in the world that American taxpayers need to do right now is provide 22,000 new bombs to Benjamin Netanyahu's government. For free, by the way.
That's insane.
But Van Nolen added that Congress must use all the tools at our disposal in Trump's war. The senators are right to highlight U.S. taxpayers' role in these deals. That's the reported sales delays. Who's actually paying for them? Americans, not Israelis, pay for the vast majority of U.S. arms sales to Israel. U.S. arms sales to Israel aren't really sales, at least not in typical sense. Israel's position as a purchaser of weapons deals isn't synonymous with a funder. This is made clear in the arms sales notification themselves. Consider the four most recent notified arms sales to Israel published in the Federal Register. $740 million for armored personnel carriers, $1.98 billion for tactical vehicles and accessories. That's a lot of tactical vehicles. A lot of that money's going to get... I'm not going to go there. $3.8 billion for attack helicopters and related weaponry, and $150 million for utility helicopters and parts. After the prospective purchaser, all these notifications list governments of Israel. After funding source, lists all foreign military financing, or FMF, the U.S. military program through which Israel receives at least $3.3 billion a year. It's much higher. In practice, it functions as a gift card for Israel to spend on weapons. U.S. taxpayers are stuck paying for the gift card. The only trace of Israel funding in those $6.7 billion arms sales is a tactical vehicle deal where the national funds allows the FMF on the funding source line. What about a pair of sales including 22,000 bombs ejected to by Sanders? This is, of course, a small sample size, but 4 years of arms data tells the same story. Israel doesn't pay for almost all of the weapons the U.S. sells it. The American taxpayer pays for it, Austin.
Yeah, that's our taxpayer dollars right there. I mean, who do you think paid for the Gaza destruction?
We did.
That's us. Make sure you pay your taxes in 2 weeks because, you know, they've got to make sure they take more of Lebanon out. And there's people like, well, it's Hezbollah territory. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Kind of like Hamas controlled all of Palestine. Every single building that existed was Hamas territory. I mean, how stupid can you actually be to continue to believe this theater that they pour in everybody's face and say, oh, it's caviar, you should eat it? No, it's not. It's sludge. It's sewage. It's lies. It's everything abomination about life and humanity. And they tell everybody, no, we need to keep doing this because, you know, there's a terrorist somewhere. I mean, that's what they say. There's a terrorist somewhere. Where? It's in your house. My house? I ain't doing anything. 24 hours, evacuate, or you're enemy combatant. Really? Really? That's the line you're going to go with.
I had one time I was driving on the 10-mile loop road called Cades Cove.
Cades Cove.
Up in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. I highly recommend you do it with everything but a motorhome.
It's tight with a motorhome.
Tight with a motorhome. But I've done it with a motorhome because they get buses back there. So you can get a bus in there. So it's a bit
it's
tight.
A lot.
But there was a guy out there and the traffic was stopped. And he said to me, and I said, why are we stopped? And he goes, there's a bar out there somewhere.
Yeah, literally.
He was also with me. There's a bar. There's a bear out there somewhere.
Bear.
But he said, there's a bar out there somewhere. And there's a terrorist out there somewhere.
Yeah, so, no. Where? Somewhere. Somewhere there's terrorists.
So because we got a terrorist over there in Lebanon somewhere, we got to make sure we raise all of these houses, destroy all of this infrastructure, destroy everything.
Beirut. Yeah. Million people displaced over a weekend period. Oh, there's a terrorist in Beirut somewhere. Hezbollah launched a missile from there somewhere. We already know from basically when they looked at Qatar. Qatar has the documents. They got the receipts. Netanyahu is funding Hamas with $35 million a month in cash through Qatar. Qatar built Hamas, funded Hamas, armed Hamas, and then used the excuse, we have to take out Hamas by bulldozing and bombing and airstriking every single house in the entire Gaza Strip. And people still sit there and go, yes, 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 yes. I'm like, dude.
You know, the thing about it is, if a foreign country came into your neighborhood, well, you listen to me for a second.
There's terrorists in Polk County. We deemed it so.
We're taking your entire neighborhood. We're blowing it up.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're still going to owe for your house mortgage. We're not paying that off. But we're going to take out your whole neighborhood with bombs. So we're going to let you know right now that you have 24 hours to vacate your house.
Or you're going to be enemy combatant. I mean, we're going to bomb you.
Well, we're blowing up your house regardless of whether
you're in it or not. Yeah.
Okay. And then we're going to run D8 to D9 dozers through here, and we're going to push everybody to the side, including your bones if you're still in there. And so you think, well, that's not okay. I don't want them to do that. Then why is it okay for Gaza?
Why is it okay for Beirut? Oh, Lebanon.
Okay, here's the question.
All right.
Poached, boiled, or scrambled, the healthiest way to eat eggs?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I like over easy sometimes, over medium.
It says basically we're a nation of egg addicts. And it says we've got...
Oh, like it's a bad problem. Like it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
So, but what they're telling us here is that really the best way to eat your eggs from a health standpoint is either to basically hard boil them, which are okay because they're kind of hard to eat because they're kind of dry, or you have them soft, you boil if you want to do that, or fry them. They said that it's better to fry them than it is to basically, in real butter, it says, rather than using olive oil.
Yeah, olive oil's flash point's too low. Heat.
Yeah, and so what you don't do is put them in canola oil ever.
Or soybean oil.
Or soybean oil. So it's saying that eggs are really good for you. They're super healthy. And it also says you need to eat the yolks. Now, I don't know why I've got to repeat that portion of this show all the time. The egg yolk is loaded with sulfur. Sulfur is what keeps the hair, nails, and skin healthy. You're not going to have healthy hair. If you don't have enough, sulfur is an essential, you know, mineral. You have to have it. And if you don't get enough of it from your diet, you're going to have to supplement it. And you start taking sulfur supplements. It's kind of, well, I've tried it before. It's really yucky.
That's why we don't even sell them. They're rough.
We tried to sell them. You couldn't do it.
Man, you burp them all day long.
All day long, you burp them.
Wait, and with the egg whites, exactly, especially if you're only eating a couple eggs a day, by no means should you eat egg whites. The only caveat I had with that, and I did it and it worked good for me, is when I was really training heavy. I was like 230, 240, and I was eating like 2 to 3 omelets a day that I'd make. And I'd use like 2 or 3 whole eggs, and I'd add in organic egg whites into that because I was obsessed with eating like 50 grams of protein per meal. I don't recommend that unless it's like you're trying to grow huge.
Makes your blood too thick.
Unless you're really young, you're trying to grow, you're on one of these, you know, 4 or 5 day training routines like Dorian Yates, and you're literally going completely and totally to the wall every day to failure, and you're trying to grow as fast as you can and as heavy as you can while you're in that state of just growth, 18, 19, 20 years old. But the average person, egg whites completely useless. Eat the yolks. You need the fats. That's it.
Period. That's what the article says. The article says don't throw the – I've seen people just throw egg white – they'll get organic eggs and throw the yolks away.
Well, that's why I say you're better off if you want to add egg whites to your whole eggs. You're going to be eating them 2 or 3 times a day when you're training heavy. Get the organic egg whites in basically the jar and pour them out. Don't buy whole eggs and waste the organic yolks. It's a complete waste.
No, it's
a waste of money. Yeah. There's no reason to do it.
What's your next story?
Oh, next one on here is a topic that I wanted to cover that was going in. It says, where'd it go here? I had it pulled up, and then I lost it.
No. Kind of happens every once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, this one. This is an interesting one. There it goes. This is something that's crazy. I brought this up to you guys the other day. I was talking to a law enforcement officer, and he showed me a screen, and he had these tags that were popping up. I told you guys, the Flock cameras. I told you the whole story on it. Palantir's controlled system, Flock, goes in and records everything. Well, apparently, it's becoming quite creepy. They said camera-based automatic license plate readers installed at all major intersections, bridges, and highway off-ramps are pretty much exploding, not literally but figuratively, all across the country, capturing the license plate data of every passing vehicle along with images of the vehicle and timestamps. These systems are using AI to create a complete searchable database that can be integrated with every law enforcement data repository in the entire country, federal, state, local, and county all have access to it. And this is what that cop told me the other day. He said every single car that goes through gets their tag ran and basically a photo of their car with a timestamp. And if anything, expired registration, suspended license, warrant, anything, it automatically goes out to the closest law enforcement within a 5-mile radius of that specific intersection. And this is becoming very creepy because I don't think anybody realizes the level of surveillance this is going to contribute to if this continues to go on. I've now read that some states are actually trying to go in and block some of this stuff from going in because there's no limit to it. And the law enforcement officer's response to me when I asked him about this, he said, there's no expectation of privacy when you're driving on the road. Now, that may be a true statement, but where does the limit of invasion come when you start?
Wait a minute.
No,
I don't agree with that statement.
No, I don't either. But it's an aspect. You're driving on the road. If somebody takes a photo of your car on the side of the road, they're walking, they pull their camera phone out, and they take a photo of your car, you can't get mad and basically sue them for taking a photo of you. Or even post it. You can't really do anything about that legally. So what he's trying to say is now reading your tag, finding all your data, doing a full deep dig on anything about you, and then taking that data and basically transport to every law enforcement agency in the area still doesn't violate that. Well, to what extent do you have the ability to travel freely, unmolested on your way without having all of your data points harvested and sold? Here's the biggest problem I have with this. Isn't just the law enforcement aspect. Flock has blatantly came out now and said that they will sell all of their data to any third party, basically data collectors or data harvesters, for the right price. Meaning this doesn't just stick with law enforcement. This can go to bounty hunters. This can go to basically marketing. This can go to people that are wanting to do predictive modeling on you to increase sales. Or this can go to basically hackers that are disguised as basically data harvesters that want to gather more data. This is so ripe for invasion of privacy. It's on a whole nother level because it doesn't just stick with law enforcement and trying to find somebody that just committed, you know, armed robbery and burglary, and they can track their tag and find out where they went. That's how they do it all the time now. And for something like that, I can see the benefit. However, it doesn't stop there, and that's the problem. When you allow surveillance like this to take hold, it can go anywhere where there's no restrictions on who Flock sells it to. That's the biggest factor that I have with this that makes it so much worse than just having law enforcement do, you know, Minority Report, you know, predictive crime on you now. I mean, anybody, any third party, they said, any third party, doesn't matter.
Unbelievable.
You want to spend the money, you can have anybody's data. Type, give them their name, give them their tag number, they'll give you everywhere anybody's ever been.
I can tell you, because of 9/11, because like David Icke said in that book, he wrote The Trigger, this isn't going away.
No. Too much money in it now.
Yeah, they're going to be selling the data too much. You know, it reminds me of, you know, with the Strait of Hormuz over there, how they're charging $1 million a ship. It reminds me of how the old barons used to do it in Germany and Europe on the Rhine River. They'd have a castle set up with cannon on it. And if you passed through the Rhine River on their little section of the Rhine that they owned, you had to pay a duty.
Or you get shot.
Or they'd sink your boat. Yeah, so you just paid.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's what we're doing now. We're going back to that. But now this is an open waterway, supposedly. But now we're going to have, you know, people are going to shoot you down if you don't.
But don't you understand? This was 28-dimensional chess, Dad. This is a big win for us.
Well, you know,
this is great. Now we owe another $100 billion to the Federal Reserve. By the way,
with this past year, we've had oil down all the way to $54 gallon, $54.
That was nice.
Okay,
diesel was $2.99 some places.
And now today it came down some more. It's down back down to 95, and everybody's saying it's a big win. It was 54. It's still 95. It's almost doubled in price.
It ain't going down anytime soon.
Not with the speculators. It'll come down like eggs did. It'll take a few months. It'll start working its way back down.
The problem is, though, all the contracts at 115 and 120 have already been closed over the last 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's all in the pipeline to basically all the processors now. That's the issue nobody's talking about. The fuel that was the most expensive part has just now gotten in the pipeline. It takes about 4 to 6 weeks to see those fuel prices, once they close, actually go through the oil refineries. So, yeah, just buckle up. But, you know, we did this for safety of everybody. It's your protection. Of course, it's for a safety for you.
Because there's a bar out there somewhere.
There's a terrorist somewhere. We're just going to bomb everybody.
My favorite one was George W. He goes, "You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. And I'm like, well, I don't really.
What if I'm not a terrorist and I'm not with you?
How about that? Well, that doesn't matter. Well, they do when they categorize you like that.
It's psychological warfare. Yeah. What they do is they force you into a box that you don't want to be in either box. You're with us with Iraq invasion for weapons of mass destruction that don't exist. We need to occupy over there to control the oil. You're with us or you're a terrorist, which means we're going to shoot you.
I remember I met W.
Which one?
I talked to his dad and I talked to him quite a bit. And I met him at another seminar we did over there. I wasn't on the seminar. He was actually speaking at Southeastern University. And I was able to go back there and talk to him for a bit. And I'll never forget, he's not real bright.
Yeah.
That's why we always called George H. the smart one, the CIA boy, and George W. the dumb one. But I give him credit. But he was really, really nice. I remember I had a friend of mine. He said that they were at a bachelor's party one time, and George W. just dove into the swimming pool, tux and all. Started pushing everybody in.
He was apparently a real party animal in college.
A real drunker boy.
Well, but now
he was a fly boy though.
Yeah, yeah. Now the fact that oil is starting to come down, good news for all my metal heads. This is a nice positive story. Gold's already up $100 an ounce today, and silver I think is up $3, $4, $5 an ounce today. And what'll happen is I explained this to everybody a month ago when they saw this big dip that dropped in after basically this Iran invasion, whatever you want to call that debacle, is that all the money moved into the oil sector as far as speculatory aspects because they knew what it was going to do as soon as it did it. I mean, you have to be a fly on the wall. It was a dumb fly to not figure out what was going to happen with oil. And so now we're moving out of oil, moving back into safe haven with gold and silver. So I'm not giving you financial advice, but I am telling you, watch the movements on it. You'll see.
And always remember that Christ is the answer for everything, that we can do all things through him. They don't want you to remember who he was.
That's a fact.
They want you to forget about what happened on Calvary. They don't want you to think about that. But he paid the ultimate price for all of us when he passed, when he died on Calvary and was resurrected. I love you guys. Thank you for your support. Thanks for being here for us. And thanks for praying for us. It's really, really important. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Guys, need anything? Purple stick cans, you wanted them, I got them. They're in stock. These will be shipping out. Bear with me over the next couple weeks. Actually, next week, all these pre-orders, they're going out, but it takes it in waves. And also, too, trying to make sure we get everybody the fastest shipping for the best price, though, as well. So thank you for working me on that. Have a fantastic evening, my friends. I'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.